This is cassette number two of a message by David E. Ball entitled National Economy Money Failure.
You should be applying, hear me, all the changes and the extreme spiritual effort that you have been applying to your life for the last several years. You will continue with greater and greater force to apply until 1975. However, you will notice as you continue between now and 75 that your victories become more easy, easier and easier. Because of this, your success will go to your head in 1976. You will forget that it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Your might get the big head, so be forewarned, forearmed. Watch out for 1976. It could be a bad year. Or a good year, according to what you do with it. I mean, the purpose of this is to, you know, keep you on the right track. But in 1977, 2300 years before that was the year 324. And in that year, the greatest marriage the world had ever seen took place. Somebody said, I wonder who catered that one. It was the marriage of the goat. Now turning it or projecting it in the spiritual realm, what's the opposite of a goat?
Lamb.
A what?
A
lamb.
Praise God.
Now I'm not saying Jesus is coming back in 1977. But I'm expecting a marriage of a lamb in 1977. As I said, it's going to shock you. Some of you might be a little upset about it. And it's going to hurt some theology. Because in the next year, I expect to overcome one last final enemy. What is the name of the last enemy to be overcome?
Death.
Death. He died in 323, 1978, and to project it or turn it over toward the spiritual side, I expect to live. Praise God.
Praise God.
I'm running out of time. How about you? These are the last days. Do you see what I'm driving at? We are living in the last days. I think it's so exciting. Somebody said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to live back there with Peter, James, and John? Yes, it would, but I'm glad I'm here now. Oh, glory. I think I'll see them anyway. I'm going to see Peter, James, and John and have all my, 747 trips to the side. Because I intend to be alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. I believe I'm in the last days. All else was wrong, but praise God. I came back, yeah, and I can't be too dogmatic. I may still be wrong. You never can tell. I might be a big old cement mixture come run over. You know, but I don't think so. As long as I'm changing, I'm safe. I'm going to say that again. I don't care what you're in right now. Did you hear me? Oh, this is important. Let's say that again. I don't care what sin you're in right now. And I mean that as sincerely as I can. I don't care what your status is. I don't care if you're a pillar in the house of God or you're a harlot. And I mean that just as sincerely as I can be. The thing that I am concerned about is, are you changing? Are you changing? Well, come on. Don't look at me for what I am today. It's what I'm going to be tomorrow that counts. I'm changing into something. I'm not the same as I was. Praise God, I'm not the same as I was. You might not think why I'm what I ought to be, but you should have seen how bad I was. I'm changing. You see what I'm driving at? It's the change that's important, not what grade you're in. I care not if you're a first grader or a 12th grader, as long as you're learning, as long as you're progressing, and show a potential of coming into what you ought to be. I will worry about you if you stop changing. I will worry about you if we have to flunk you over and over and over again, the same course. Come on, how many have been taking the same course over and over again? Tell the truth now. Come on, same course over and over and over again. Same lessons. You say, Lord, get me out of this mess. Well, if you scream loud enough, he'll get you out, but he'll put you right in another until you learn a lesson. Then he'll move you on to another kind of mess, so you learn that lesson. This is the story of our lives as we go through this school life, learning how to be overcomers. Now listen to what Jesus said. To him that overcometh will I give or grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am sitting in my Father's throne. My Lord, praise God. How high is that? In his throne to the overcomer. It's possible to overcome. It's possible to sit in his throne. Or why would he have told us to do it? And using the same formulas and the same technique, we go to Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19. Isaiah 19, 19. Listen carefully. In that day, what day? Would you believe the last day? The day we've been talking about. Shall it be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. The scripture tells us an almost impossible geometric formation in the midst and at the border will be an altar or a pillar. In studying this scripture, we have discovered that it refers to the same building. This building referred to is the building pictured on the back of your dollar bill. On the reverse side of your dollar bill is a pyramid. This pyramid is in the midst of Egypt. It's right in the center of Cairo, in the center of the area there. But it's on the border thereof because it's on the border of the desert. And I really mean that. It's the most amazing thing. We've been there. Praise God, we've been there. Can you imagine? Living by faith in God has even caused us to walk on those deserts. And you can actually, with one foot on grass, step the other foot on desert sand. I mean, there's that much of a division. It's hard, really. You can't hardly imagine it, but it's so. It's the way the country is. It's fertile. It's planted, it's green, and that fast, one step, and you're in desert. You can go 100 feet and be right in the middle of desert all around you, and only 100 feet back is grass and Cairo. Now, this altar, or this building, which is in the midst of Egypt, I want to tell you about this, and listen very careful to me. Try to understand what I'm saying. Occult groups years ago began to study this altar. Did you hear me? Occult groups. Rosicrucian type things, you know, where it's mind over matter type groups. And they began to study this because they made a discovery. Now, remember that in Thessalonians it says that the Antichrist comes first. The occult groups get kingdom truth before the good guys. Now, come on. The occult groups come into kingdom truths, final day answers, before the good guys get them. Just because the occult groups have been studying the pyramid is no reason for Christians to throw it out. You follow the logic here. That doesn't make it a cult. It only means that they saw some truths in it before. Are you following what I'm driving at? If one were to take a reed like unto a rod, remember Revelation chapter 11, and lay this reed down and start measuring the passages into the pyramid, you would find that these passages come out to the very day and show how many years from Adam to Moses, from Moses to Abraham, and every time it turns, all the passage shifts within the inside of the pyramid, and measuring with this rod in years, not in length, every major event of our Christian heritage has been predicted by a turn in the stones of a passage of the inside of this pyramid. Do you follow what I'm driving at? It's the most fantastic, amazing, shocking thing that every dimension of this pyramid, it's astronomical in the number of fantastic coincidences. It even has shows 33.5 years just before the great gallery, or the great period of grace, the giant period of grace, and that of course would be the Jesus. I mean, everything is then there, and then at the end, right at the end of the life of Jesus, or that particular stone, 33.5 years long, there's a giant shaft that goes right down into what they call the pit. And under the pyramid is a jagged pit. And sure enough, right at 3.5 is, 33.5 right there, there's a shaft goes down. In other words, some kind of a forceful entry was prophesied to take place. And the pit was freed. Oh, praise God. Because he went down there and led captivity captive and took them out. Now, I can tell you're shocked about what I'm telling you on this pyramid. And you're so shocked you don't get the glory spell about Jesus. But what I want you to see is that in the book of Revelation, it tells us it's okay to measure temples. And when you measure temples, you come out in time frames. Are you following what I'm driving at? And these times or dates that come by measurements have been prophesied by God, built into his temple to prove that everything that's happening is of God. Listen, friend, God is still in charge. You may think that this world's gone all off into a ball of fire. It is not. God's in charge. He saved that for another age. And he's in charge in this. And this nation is the way this nation is because God let it get this way. And he could have easily fixed things around the way he wanted. Everything's going the way he's in charge. Don't kid yourself. Now, there's another one fighting him. And he'd rather that you were on the right side instead of the wrong side. And in that realm, you're in charge to choose your side. But as far as the eternal destiny of nations and the destiny of the way the whole world is going, he is going to win. There's absolutely no question about it. By studying all of these scriptures, and I have literally spent hundreds of dollars on books, some of them occult, and I wouldn't want to go into those with you, in order to get some information that they possessed. And then also, taking a trip to Cairo myself, and going through the pyramid, we've made some further discoveries. In 1968, I gave these dates, March 29, 30, May 20, oh, that date's been using. And told all the people, watch these dates, and these dates here. Now, the dates that we're interested in are the dates for their future, but I want to talk about the dates that are past for just a moment. September 11th, 1971, write that down. That's 5 days from now. July 23rd, 1972, write that down. About a year. April the 2nd, 1973, write that down, please. And that's the last one. Now, these dates that are here, and you can copy them if you want. How many have already copied these dates at some time in the past? Raise your hands. Everybody else, turn around. Look at these guys. Look at them. Everybody else, look at these people who've got their hands up. All right, put your hands down. Would you agree with me that I gave these dates before they happened?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Everybody here. Now, for those that this is new to, you're going to have to say, this guy's the biggest nut I ever met, and these are the biggest liars I ever met. Or else, that they're telling the truth and he's not a nut. Now, I don't know how I would rather you took the latter, but you can it'll be up to you. Getting the dates ahead of time, before they happen, figuring the dates by measuring the temple. Are you following me? By measuring linearly and finding out the temple prophesied that there would be major changes. Not knowing what the changes were, only that certain dates would be evolved. Is this offensive to anyone in a Bible study? I mean, this is Bible. We're sticking right with chapter and verse. We're not astrologists. We're not reading tea leaves. Not hexing. No powwow. It's all chapter and verse, all Bible. Now, come on, tell the truth, and if there's any argument, well, let's have it now, because I'm going to get into some pretty tight things in a minute. Before it happened, we gave these 17 dates. These 14 dates have already passed. There are 3 dates yet to go. These 14 dates that have already passed, on every one of those dates, told to our Bible students ahead of time, but not knowing what would happen. Getting a newspaper, naturally, you know, the day after that date, what happened, you know, and going through it and finding out, we began to see a pattern evolve. This is the pattern. That on those dates, every date, a foreign government devaluated their currency, their money. Well, that ought to have goosebumps on your goosebumps that got goosebumps. And in fact, I think you ought to have 14 layers.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm just going on. Being at bat 14 times, hitting 14 home runs, we can assume that we have 3 more times at bat. September 11th, July 23rd, and April 2nd. Hitting 14 home runs, we can assume it's the same pitcher that we're going to hit 3 more times. You follow what I'm driving at? I mean, let's face it, that's pretty good odds. Those are good odds. That I mean, any gambler would that's 100%. I mean, that's batting pretty fine averages. September 11th is the next date. Now, some of the dates did not involve foreign governments, but involved this government. And on some of the dates, oh, for instance, January the 9th, that's when Nixon announced the new cutback and said that, I don't know, 2 million government employees were going to lose their jobs and all that stuff. They start cutting back. Here's where the Federal Reserve Board changed their prime interest rate and so forth. The Chase Manhattan Bank changed their prime interest rate on another one of the dates. You see what I'm driving at? Always associated with money. But I want to say one other thing. Associated with the failure of money. And if that upsets you, I'm sorry for you. Because I'm glad. Amen. You can be mad at me if you want, but I'm glad. I'm glad it's failing. Never had much in the first place. Never had much chance. It didn't seem like it getting a whole lot in the second place. But you know something? Money can be a god. And it's my understanding, according to 1 Timothy 6:1, 6:10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, the love of money system, is the root of all evil. Men will murder for it, steal, commit, and women commit every type of horrible act because they're motivated by the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it says that this image or spirit of Antichrist has a name and the number of his name. And what is it? 666. The Bible teaches us in 1 Kings 10:14 and 2 Chronicles 9:13, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Now, does gold sound like money to you? Does that sound like the love of money to you? I'll tell you what that meant. It meant heavy, oppressive taxes. The Antichrist is every person taxes. Why do that? It's the love of what they'll buy. Heavy oppressive taxes in foreign governments and governments historically years ago, starting with Solomon, going on to the Roman Empire, and finally to a certain large nation that's operating today the same way. They decided to work their economy this way. We will build giant armies and giant navies. We will tax our home population heavily to support giant armies and giant navies. We will send our giant armies and giant navies to other people's soil to spill blood over there to bring peace and prosperity to our nation here. Does that sound like anything you know of? That's exactly what Solomon did. That's exactly what Nero Caesar did, and Augustus and all the other Caesars and that were in the time of Christ. Don't you know that the Roman Empire had sent its soldiers over there in Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem blood? Not theirs. Well, I know their senators were way back at the Colosseum having a good time. Does that remind you of anything? Heavy present taxes to send the young boys, you know, the ones that aren't worth much. They're not really have got good jobs. They're really not affecting our economy yet. But they're strong. They can carry a gun and point it. And send it to someone else's soil. So that if, you know, I mean, in every war, somebody's got to get killed. And it can be our boys, but we don't want to kill the rich men, so we kill the boys that don't have much. Does that make any sense to you? This is a policy that was started way back then. It's called the Industrial Military Complex. President General Eisenhower warned the nation. And one of his most prophetic warnings was this: I thought that when I would be president, I could make my own decisions. I can't, he said, because my decisions are made for me and handed to me, and I have to hand them to you. This is the president speaking. And he says the decisions of this country are made by the giant industrial military complex. And my hands are tied, and this is what you're going to have to do.
Now, this is the president speaking. This is what you've got to see. And the decisions that are made in this country are not made by free moral agents. They're made by the industrial military complex, and yours is a slave in the machinery. The way it was. But praise God, we're getting out of it.
Amen.
We're getting out of it, and I'll tell you why. Because the dollar's failing. And when the dollar fails, they'll fail. There's no more motive for a giant industrial military complex where there's no more dollars or value to the dollars, and I'll bring them home. Praise God. During this time and on these dates,
somebody's squealing.
Oh, I thought that was the end of somebody's thing. During these times and on these dates, the dollars failed. Nixon really goofed me up this month. That guy is 3 weeks too early. He's beaten me by 3 weeks. I'll be very interested what happens next Saturday. Next Saturday is the 11th. I think there'll be a tremendous change happen to your money on the 11th. Next Saturday.
Not the Berlin Wall?
Huh?
The Berlin Wall?
Oh, no, your money. Your money. Every one of these dates is money failure. Every 14 now has right on the button money failure. The love of money is the root of all evil. What can a man love when money is no good? Praise God. Hey, Mark, get back to first things first. I'm glad that it's going this way. I really am. I'm glad to see this inflation. I'm glad to see this failure of the money. I'm glad to see the devaluation of the money. And it sounds very unpatriotic, but I'm glad. To me, it's showing that we're going in the right direction. God's in charge. It's in it just like it is. And the love of money is going down the drain. And, of course, the people that are loving it are screaming, scrambling at this moment.
Amen.
I was in a meeting Saturday morning at the convention. I got a phone call from New Hampshire. And a very, very wealthy Christian screaming, said, "Ebal, what will I do? What's next?" He knew that I had the dates, and he knew that things were working. And he's been sending $5,000 a day, cash. Well, really, $4,900 a day, or $990, because you're stopped at $5,000. But they stopped that. And he can't even get his $5,000 a day out. And all his money, you can see it, just, I mean, millions of dollars is just going to nothing. Or at least half value. And all the work that he spent to amass this kind of a fortune, overnight, or at least in a month, is going to go down the drain into nothing. And I think it's one of the best things can happen to him.
For the concluding part of this message by David Ebal, entitled National Economy, Money Failure, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.